The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.839-1360-97.5. Well, you sound like you potted it down already, so I started. 1360-97.5 WTAQ. News, talk, sport. What, did I jump too quick? You want to start over? What? 1360-97.5 WTAQ. News, talk, sports. Just a strange mood in the building. You can tell the Christmas is getting closer and closer. Not a bad strange. You know, they're strange and they're strange. I got more Christmas shopping done yesterday. Getting closer. Received, actually, what's a very nice email from a lady who thought I was being too negative about the snow. She said, look, you got a lot of things to be happy about in your life. Be more positive. Well, as a listener, she claims she doesn't listen all that much. But clearly she does, because she did count off all the blessings in my life that I talk about on the air from time to time. And I talk about those blessings because I mostly am positive. I just don't like snow. Just really don't like snow. Which reminds me, but she was right. I don't have the email in front of me. She made a lot of good points. I'm healthy enough to get out and move the snow. I have a dog that gives me unconditional love. I have a home that keeps me warm. Yeah, she's right. Those are all blessings. It's absolutely true. Still hate snow. But she was right about all of that. By the way, Jason, they're saying a small amount of snow, right, for Thursday, and then maybe a lot on Sunday. It's going to be a lot tomorrow night. Unless I get my snow thrower over to the hardware store and get it fixed, it's going to be all sorts of snow Thursday night. I was just snow throwing, and the cable that controls the augers, I don't know what happened. So I had to finish by hand last night. Even my wife has figured out my luck. You better get the thing in today. So it's in the van. I'll try to get it over to the place where I get that done. And I took a look at it. I just don't have time to putz with it. I followed the cable down as far as I could. I don't have time to take it apart and see where it connects. I just don't have time. So I'll deal with that. I'll try to spare you all. And that should handle it. If I don't get it fixed, we'll get a half foot of snow. For a guy that's not superstitious, I've come to put a lot of stock in that little theory. You know, it really has proven pretty darn accurate. Remember the year that I got it? I got it because we had these huge storms. And then I got it. We didn't get any snow for the rest of, what was that, 3 years ago now, I think. Something like that. Kind of like you watching Sunday game and deciding you can go deal with the recycling, huh? So what you're saying is you'll just have to go with the kids and get some cans recycled, huh? This Sunday. Time that out, would you? Yeah, you deal with that. All right. Let's see. Oh. Do you remember who Harold Camping is? Harold Camping. You would be pretty impressive if you could remember the name. Harold Camping was the preacher, the doomsday preacher, who predicted the world would end in 2011. It actually ended Sunday. He was 92. Well, it ended for him. I didn't realize, actually, he was that old. I knew he was older. I didn't realize he was 90-ish when he was doing that. Actually, his first prediction was 1994. I started noticing that in high school. I remember 1984. I mean, maybe that was just the Orwellian thing. I recall 1987 being the year. There was something significant about that one. That some, you know, then 2012 was the whole Mayan thing. You know, I don't know of any. I don't know of any fresh ones right now. You know, where the world is going to end in this year. Yeah, the 2000 Y2K was going to paralyze the world. Except everybody who was saying that knew that the bug had been fixed. In fact, about 5 years ago, this was so wild. 5 years ago, I'm checking out, and the cash register has a little sticker that says Y2K compliant. It feels really weird now. I mean, yeah, it did. About five, what's it, be 2008? That sounds about right. I'm guessing. You know how it is when you measure time that way. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was going to be the big one. Here's another one. I've digressed here a little bit, but here's another one. I am old enough, although I was very young when it came out, I am old enough to remember Earthquake. That was part of the disaster movie fad of the 1970s, started by the big block box office hit Airport. And then there was Towering Inferno, and there was Earthquake, and there were some other ones. Earthquake was an Irwin Allen production. It was born of this prediction that the San Andreas Fault, at some point, Southern California is going to fall into the ocean. At some point. You don't hear many of those predictions anymore. They kept moving it about every 10 years. When it didn't happen, they would. What's going to happen is, I mean, there's going to be a catastrophic earthquake someday. The San Andreas Fault is just ripe for San Francisco and Los Angeles to essentially fall into the ocean. I don't know that that's going to happen. But I can guarantee this. It'll be the watched pot never boils. It'll be when everybody finally stops talking about it. Speaking of what people are talking about, I'll do this before 9 o'clock. I want to briefly mention the officer-involved shooting in Green Bay. I will do that before 9 o'clock. But speaking of what people are talking about, I don't recall these lists from last year. We had the most common Facebook topic, top 10 lists. Here's Google. The top 10 Google-searched items. There's the top 10 USA lists. There's the top 10 world list. Let's annoy Jason on this Wednesday. Jason, take your best shot at the number one on each list. The most Google searched items, well, in 2013. Oh, he had it? You heard it? And you can't remember. That's the beautiful part. Kennedy just did this in the news. And you can't remember already. Okay, then Nelson Mandela, number one on which list? Very good. Worldwide. Boy, this isn't tough. I'm asking you to remember a newscast you heard 13 minutes ago. Okay, what's number one on the other? You think you got it, huh? Number one on the U.S. list. 5, 4, 3, wrong. Boston Marathon is number one on the top U.S. Boston Marathon on the global, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's number one on the U.S. list. Here's something I find interesting. Corey Monteith's death, the Glee star, number 1, 2, 3, 4. On the worldwide list, nowhere on the U.S. list. I find that kind of interesting. And this was true with Facebook, too. The Harlem Shake is on the global list, not on the U.S. list. Yeah, there's something, I guess. Not surprisingly, number two on the U.S. list is the government shutdown. Royal Baby is slightly higher on the U.S. list than on the global list. New Pope makes the U.S. list, not the global list, which makes no sense at all. And maybe this says something about how deep our head is in the sand. North Korea, or somewhere else, North Korea is number 10 on the world list, nowhere on the U.S. list. Let's see. The Zimmerman trial, obviously, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the U.S. list, nowhere on the global list. Boston Marathon, I mentioned, middle of the list. Here's something else. Now, this I do find really interesting. Here are three things that are on the global list that are not on the U.S. list. iPhone 5S, Samsung Galaxy S4, two smartphones, and PlayStation 4. We're less techie-minded than the rest of the world. I find that a little interesting, actually. The iPhone 5S is number three. Now, here's something I don't know, and I think this is a semi-important question here. Are the U.S. results included in the worldwide results, or are they completely segregated? Because that, you know what I mean? That muddies these rather significantly. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I do find it interesting that iPhone 5 is number three, didn't appear anywhere on the U.S. list, and then you have another smartphone and then a video game, well, PlayStation 4. Just kind of interesting. By the way, this is also interesting. Now, I accused the U.S. of having its collective head in the sand because North Korea wasn't on our list and it was on the world list. Syrian conflict was number nine on our list and nowhere on the U.S. list. On the world list. And let me see. It's 10, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Number 10 on the U.S. list is Mayweather versus Canelo. I didn't realize that fight had generated that kind of interest in this country. All right. I want to spend a few minutes because these seemingly always need a few minutes of conversation. That is the recent police or officer-involved shooting in Green Bay. I want to just read some of Paul Sarubis' story in the local paper. Authorities didn't say much a day after the fatal shooting of a 63-year-old man by a Green Bay police officer earlier this week, after the man's estranged wife reported him stalking her. There is no new information, Captain Todd Thomas of the Green Bay PD said Tuesday. The investigation is ongoing. We are continuing to gather statements. An autopsy revealed Daryl E. Vandenhoevel, age 63, died of multiple gunshot wounds, Brown County Medical Examiner Al Klimek said. He declined to reveal the location and number of wounds. Then they give the backstory of how police went to the apartment building on the city's west side. After receiving a disturbance call, officers found Vandenhoevel in an underground parking area, started a conversation with him, but one officer opened fire when Vandenhoevel produced a gun. They wouldn't say if he'd been involved in other officer-related shootings, and that's about what we know. I don't generally have a problem with authorities not saying much at this time, for the most part. As you know, my philosophy in these things are always to give law enforcement the benefit of the doubt, with that opinion always subject to change. But yeah, and many of you, and even a lot of conservatives, criticize me for doing that. That I give law enforcement in these matters, or in a recent traffic accident, the benefit of the doubt until evidence suggests otherwise. Many people go just the other way. There is a very, very, very high suspicion of law enforcement in my mind, in the community, and not just this community, in the American community, but including in this community, higher than I've ever seen it in the 30 years that I have worked in radio. Most of it in, well, It's getting harder to say most of it in news the longer I'm in talk. But still, I mean, dearly, well, 18 of the 30 years I was in the newsroom. It is interesting to me how people are much more suspicious very, very quickly of law enforcement. We know very little. There is one element of this story that I'm not going to criticize, but I'm going to question. I'm not going to criticize it at this point. I'm going to question. That is medical examiner Al Klimek's decision not to reveal the number or location of the wounds. In other words, Al's not saying how many times Vandenhoevel was shot or where. I'm not going to criticize because he might have a reason for doing that. I honestly don't know what it is. And I think it's potentially does a disservice to the officer involved, because all it does, well, how many times was the guy shot? Why aren't they telling us? Huh? How many times was he shot? And as you know, my position on that is, if the officer has made the judgment call that the person is a threat, you shoot until the threat is down. I actually, a law enforcement friend has taught me to look at round accountability in terms of what was behind the person and all of that. That's one thing. But as you probably know, if you've listened to the show for any period of time, I don't get all of that worked up about how many shots were fired. I'm not sure why Al is withholding that at this point. If whatever the number is, unless it's more than one, there is a sector of the public that's going to be convinced it's too many. That always happens. And I try to diffuse that, but that always happens. As I said, Al may have a reason that is not occurring to me. I hope he does, because otherwise I think it's just a mistake. Speaking of mistake, I may have gentle disagreement with conservatives on strategy coming up in 2014, and we'll deal with that in an interview in 8 minutes, 9:06. It's 8:56.